Well, I'm excited today to interview the author of this new book called Forgiveness for Everyone. He's Dr. Doug Weiss. He's well known to most Christian audiences because of his work. He's a psychiatrist. And so I want to ask you why you wrote this book. What was it that prompted you to write this book? Because I know you well enough to know that you've written many books.
Right. Well, this book is special because in our office at Heart-to-Heart Counseling Center in Colorado Springs, for the last 30 years, you know this, I've been doing five-day intensives, but especially with women who've been betrayed by their husbands. Infidelity, pornography, intimacy, anorexia. And that's a lot of pain. That's a lot of betrayal. And I've developed a process where these women and men were able to forgive those who hurt them and actually know that they forgave them. It wasn't just like, you know, kind of pushing through, kind of like, you know, okay, I'm going to decide to do this. They're actually able to do it from their heart. And I see this work thousands and thousands of times. And so many people, they go to Christian counseling, they say, well, just forgive, but they're still walking around wounded, Steve. They're still acting like they're stuck. And in this process of forgiveness for everyone, we teach people how to get unstuck and do the forgiveness work. And also there's more stuff as we move towards the end of the book. But this is powerful because the Lord is, he's told us to forgive, right? It's even in the Lord's Prayer. You know this. I mean, how many of us memorize, you know, forgive us our sins as those who trespass against us, right?
Why do you think it's so hard for people to forgive? Because this is a huge problem in our society.
Yeah, I think, well, I think there's a couple myths. I think one is if I forgive, I have to agree with you. That's not true. Okay. Or there's a myth, we talk about the myths in, about forgiveness in the book. And it's one of the things is like, well, they have to repent first. They have to ask me to forgive them. Well, if a person's so immature to hurt you, they're probably not mature enough to take responsibility for it, you know, and then you can get stuck. You don't need them to ask you to forgive. They don't have to even repent for you to forgive. You
and sometimes the people that you need to forgive are dead. They
right.
Apologize.
Or you can't find them anymore. I mean, they might have abused you when you were four. You don't even know their name. And so there is a process where you can do that work and you can forgive them from your heart. And it's not just a commandment, just do it. You have to sometimes like learn how to do it. And once you learn how to do it, you can duplicate it. We've duplicated this tens of thousands of times. We've had people do this even in conferences. There's things that you can do where you can release people from your heart. And then they're not driving your car, Steve, because you know, if you get stuck with unforgiveness, scripture is really clear. You can get really stuck. Bitterness, the root of bitterness, it can defile many. You can start closing your heart and you think, well, I'm going to close my heart towards that one person. But what happens is you close towards one person, it starts closing towards everybody. And then you start becoming negative and critical and, you know, pushing away people that actually do love you. And we don't have to live that way. We can be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, right? And so I wrote it so that people can be free really around the world because there's a lot of misunderstanding about this process. And once you do it, you are now in the driving seat of whether you forgive or not. And you're not waiting for some mysterious experience to happen. You know, you want to slap you full of oil and in the name of Jesus, forgive them. No, you can act. It's kind of like going down for prayer to lose weight. But I'm going to pray for you to have the fruit of the Spirit called self-control when there's food in front of you. And then also motivation to go to the gym or work out or go for walks. Like there's principles that can get you the answers to prayer. And this forgiveness for everyone is principle-based. You can transfer principles. You can't transfer miracles.
Well, let's do a deep dive into it because you talk in the book about something called the forgiveness formula. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Steph?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go through.
Absolutely. You know, Steve, when you get hurt or betrayed and you're a Christian leader, how many people have betrayed you? I mean, betrayed me, betrayed other people. I mean, if you're anywhere moving in ministry circles, you're going to get hurt, lied to, betrayed. Jesus promised lawsuits, family problems. He promised that this would happen on the first commission, right? So when it does happen, how do you forgive? Well, the first thing I have in the book, I let people know it's okay to be angry. You know, you are hurt. Even God's angry about what's being done to you, depending on the betrayal or the circumstances. And I walk them through what we call cleansing the temple. Jesus cleansed the temple before he hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. And in that temple exercise, he identified the sin. He You make him a house of prayer, a den of thieves. That's the first step. And then he engaged his anger. Okay. He literally, in the Luke account, made a whip. Now, Jesus was a carpenter. Still probably took more than 10 minutes to make that whip. Okay. He made a whip. He knew what he was going to do. He identified the sin. He engaged the anger and let it out. And then the temple was restored. And in the book, I talk about how you can do the anger on the people who perpetrate you. You don't need them to participate. And you know me, Steve. You know my story. You know, I was conceived in adultery, abandoned, foster home, sexually abused, abandoned, etc. And the Lord took me through this process for weeks and healing my soul. Because you can't cast out trauma. You can't cast out betrayal. You have to heal it. Jesus went around, and there's two Greek words. He went around healing and delivering. Those are two different processes. And if you can't cast it out, you got to heal it. And healing is your responsibility. You know what I'm saying? Healing is on us. Okay, he's given us the tools. And we'll get into this, but I want to talk about the superpower at some point in this process and talking with you because it's really powerful.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, if you've been hurt, betrayed, lied to, sued, misunderstood, or whatever your circumstances was, when someone actually did hurt you, okay, you forgiving them doesn't mean you have to reconcile with them. Because some people, it could be they have addictions, they're too immature to be reconciled with, they can have mental illness, they're unstable, okay? They could be unavailable, like if they're dead, right? You know, you can't reconcile with that. But it doesn't mean you have to trust someone who's not trustworthy. If someone stole $50,000 from me, I'm probably not going to give them the opportunity to do that again. But I can still forgive them. I can still say, you know what? I forgive you. You don't owe me. You don't have to repay me. We're good. But I'm not going to give you my checkbook again.
What would you say to someone who says, I just can't forgive them? You're a counselor. How do you counsel that?
Well, I can say, you certainly believe that because up to now you haven't had the skill. You know, when I went to the gym, I would say I can't bench press 300 pounds because I haven't experienced 300 pounds and I haven't been trained how to do it. Okay. Now I can work my way up to that. So that's where you are, first of all, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. We all know that, but it doesn't mean we don't have to learn something to be able to do some of the things that he's called us to do. You know, I might have to learn how to tithe, okay? But once I learn it, I can then be successful in that process. So I can say you can forgive, but you need to be intentional. And once you know a process, I actually give them exercises they can do. And if they can't forgive, it's okay. You come back to it next month and you hit it again. And then you find out if you're further down the road. And generally speaking, I don't know of a client, over 5,000 clients, who's had to do the forgiveness exercise more than 3 times, and they got there. Once they cleansed their temple and they actually did the forgiveness exercise that's in the book, they're able to know where they are. And if they are stuck, they can go, okay, I'll come back to this next month. And it's like taking the bullet out. You know, you've seen the movie with Wolverine, right? I don't know if you have, but Wolverine takes the bullets, right? Boom, 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 boom. They shoot him. Then he stands there for a moment and then he starts popping them out. Boom, 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 boom. And forgiveness allows you to pop out the bullets so that you can continue to live your life instead of letting the bullets live your life. And when you do forgive, you're free. Forgiveness isn't for them. Me forgiving them does nothing for them. It does something for me. It allows me to walk in freedom. That's why we're commanded to forgive, because God wants us free. He's not trying to trap us. He's trying to say, listen, that cage of unforgiveness you're in, you're holding the key. Whenever you want to get out, you can get out. Just open the door, forgive, and you can be free.
You know, a minute ago, you talked about deliverance and healing. Why is forgiveness so essential to healing?
Well, it can be significant to both. You know, we both know people who do deliverance ministry types people, and they actually run people through a forgiveness regimen sometimes before they do deliverance. Okay. And in healing, what happens is you do the anger stuff, you get that done. And then when you forgive that person, you're literally detaching from what they've done to you, and you're not letting it hook you or or drive you or pull you or yank you. You can separate from it and then you can walk free. You know, I had to forgive the father I never met. I had to forgive the man who sexually abused me. I had to forgive women who used me. I had to forgive my mom for putting me in foster homes. I went through this process. This isn't just like, you know, Dr. Doug sat down on a rock and decided to espouse some kind of wisdom. God showed me what to do. And then I used it with thousands of clients as well. And it works. That's why I wrote it, is because it works. And if you can get people free, wow, they can walk in their destiny, their gifts grow, their relationships grow. They can be better husbands or wives or dads or moms.
So what are some stories of people who've read the book, whose lives have been impacted, or maybe stories of some people in your counseling? You know, you're discussing it in a very general way, but we're talking about individual people with individual problems of where this has helped people heal.
Well, I'll tell you a true story, and we'll call this guy Tom. It's not his name. I'll never forget him. He was about 6'4", filled the doorway, right? He was a Texan, and he came for me for the reasons most people do, pornography, sexual addiction stuff. But in his story, because in there, you identify the people who hurt you. Well, for him, it was his, you know, 4'5" mom. She was brutal. I mean, she beat him. She was so abusive to him. And there was a ritual in his household as adults that they still go back to mom for Thanksgiving. Like, you just don't break that rule. You're there, right? If you marry, you sign a contract, basically. You're going to be there for Thanksgiving. And he would talk about how horrible this was and how he would retreat into be like a little boy and just kind of anxious. Well, he did the cleansing and temple work. He did the exercise we talk about in the forgiveness exercise. It's in the book. And this was in October. So he was shortly going to be going to Thanksgiving with his mom. So he came back after going to Thanksgiving. He says, you know, Doug, when I pulled up to the house, I didn't have that tension in my chest. I was able to hug my mom. I was able to be there the whole weekend and not have any of that kind of weird feeling in my heart. And I was just able to accept that she is who she is. But no longer was that, it wasn't driving me anymore. You know, I've had thousands of testimonies like that. And I can tell you at least a thousand women who were able to forgive the husband who betrayed them in my office on like Wednesday and really mean it. And it wasn't like they were forced into it. It's a natural thing once we get rid of the anger to be able to forgive. Now, of course, in their situation, they have some safety nets to protect them from being hurt in the future.
So tell me some stories about your own life of where you've had, you're sort of doing it, but some very specific areas and places where you've had to forgive.
Well, I went through like my early story, but you know, as you evolve in your walk with the Lord and he starts giving you further favor and responsibilities and opportunities, like people who have jealousy or they want to live your life or they think that they should be the person who was on Oprah or whatever, they become your enemies. They become envious and they'll say all kinds of bad things about you. And so I walked through the exercise. I did the anger work. I did the forgiveness work. And then there's another thing the Lord taught me to do. And I think you've heard me share this before. And that is, if someone really becomes my enemy, and for me, it's generally speaking, it's usually very poorly dressed men. I don't know why poorly dressed men like to be my enemy, but it just happens to be that way. So I will go send them a tie, a beautiful tie or cash anonymously. They can't trace it back to me. And I can remember the tie I bought them, but I can't remember what they did to me anymore. And what happens is when you really forgive, it really disappears. Like I would have to really think about what did that person do? I know they did something because I sent them, you know, a couple hundred dollars in cash or whatever it was I sent them, or I sent them a tie. And it's like, what was it that I can't remember what they did, but I can remember what I did when I forgave and I decided to bless them. And that really freed me up. So there's stories along the way for sure. And then you got all these other people out on the internet who make up all kinds of funny stories about you. I mean, I was having dinner with Joel Osteen. He's like, Doug, I wish half the things that they say about me were true. I wish I had those Lamborghinis. You know, as you move on, you learn how to do it and people can't control your life. And that's a good thing about forgiving everybody.
That is a good thing. A minute ago, you were wanting to drill down into something and I diverted the conversation. So I want to give you a chance to share that.
Yeah, no, one of the things that really shocked me as I was going through the scripture about forgiveness is Jesus could cast out a demon And religious people wouldn't get too upset. There was one occasion where they did. Okay. But he could heal people and they wouldn't usually get upset unless it was on the Sabbath. But when he would say, "I forgive your sins, get up and walk," or to the adulterous woman, "I forgive you, sin no more." When he would forgive sins, the religious people would go absolutely demonic crazy. Because up until this time in history, it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And when Jesus brought the superpower of forgiveness into humanity in his own body, in his own walk, and when he set it on the cross, he released that superpower to the body of Christ. "I forgive you" was echoed throughout thousands of years on the earth. And we have that same superpower. We can forgive those who sin against us. He wouldn't tell us to do something unless we could do it. The Father is not like, "Here, I want you to do something that I designed you that you can't do." That's not our Father. Our Father is like, "I designed you to look like me, act like me. I'll give you the Holy Spirit to even help you with this. Forgive, because that's what I look like. That's the superpower I placed in you that the world doesn't possess." They don't possess the superpower to truly forgive and move on and not be yanked around by it. We as believers have the superpower of forgiveness. And if we use it, boom. You can't be sidetracked by other people's sins against you. And that's what unforgiveness can get you trapped into, getting you sidetracked.
I talk about how people can use this in their own families. We've touched on it some, but husbands and wives forgiving each other, children learning to forgive their parents, or maybe how can a parent teach a child to forgive? Because even for fairly minor things, children can hold grudges or they were hurt by a bully in school or whatever.
Well, for parents especially, they get to role model either pride or humility. In pride, a parent does not take responsibility for their mistakes, minimizes them by saying, "I'm sorry," instead of "forgive me for that. That was sin. That anger I just did with you, that was sin. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Can you forgive me?" When you role model asking for forgiveness, most kids want to forgive their parents. Okay, when they're growing up, even later on in life, I've seen so many parents reconcile with their children when the parents were able to say, "You know what? I was wrong when I did that. That was sin. Will you forgive me for being hard on you or for not being hard enough?" Okay, whatever it was. And you can definitely role model that forgiveness by asking for it and taking responsibility. Actually, at the very end of the process in Forgiveness for Everyone, which is different than most forgiveness books, because most forgiveness books say the scripture says forgive, so just do it. This is like, the scripture does say this, and here's where it says this, but here's how you do it, okay? But at the end of the book, there's a chapter, Steve, on you taking responsibility for your sins against other people. You go and apologize and ask forgiveness, okay? Now, if it's a cross-gender thing, like an old girlfriend or something, you know, you don't do that. There's boundaries within that. But the people, you can say, "You know what? That was a mistake. When I stole from you, that was sin. When I did this towards you, when I lied about you on the internet, or when I lied to you about this article, that was sin. Will you forgive me?" And that's real freedom. And the Lord took me through that process. A couple years into being saved, he said, "Now I want you to make," the Lord was kind of rough with me. He's like, "Now you need to go apologize to these people that you hurt." And I'm like, wow. And I was still young enough that they were all still close by. And I literally had to go face to face with them. I remember this one guy I worked for. He was definitely in a different lifestyle, definitely not a believer. And I'm like, "Seriously, Jesus?" And you know, he was gracious enough to forgive me. And actually everyone I think I went to did forgive me. Now they don't have to forgive you. That's not the point. The point is you go and take responsibility. And that helped me as a young man, Steve, to have a clear conscience towards anybody. I could look anybody in the eye and not look down because I knew I owned my side of the street. So in the Forgiveness for Everyone, not only do you get to clean the inside of you, you can get rid of any of that stuff that you did that you need to take responsibility for and really be free from, you know, the shame or the guilt of any of that stuff. Because we all make mistakes. You know, at some point, we're all immature. at some point we have a bad day or bad mood, or we're deceived in some way, and we can take responsibility. And that is forgiveness for everyone. Because when you do that, you are free. When you take responsibility, you're free. And that was early in my walk. I think it was one of the things that really helped me to accelerate spiritually. First of all, you do what you're told. That was my agreement with Jesus. And if you're out there and you haven't done the last thing he told you to do, he might not tell you the next thing to do. So if you're stuck, it might be because of the last thing he told you to do. But the forgiveness thing was crucial for me as a young guy. And I still do that. You know, even with Joni, if I make a mistake, well, let me say it this way. When I make a mistake, I'm not superior to anybody. It's when, it's not if. I'll say, Joni, I need you to forgive me. Like I did something. I was talking to someone and I said something wrong, but it wasn't a big thing, but she brought it up to me. I said, you know what? That's wrong. What I did was wrong. So forgive me. And I got on the phone and the two people I spoke to, I got on the phone right away. I said, listen, you know what? That comment was wrong. And she's never seen like that kind of thing, like where instantaneously take responsibility, call the people that you did it with, and it's over. And you know what? The rest of our night was fantastic. Because I didn't like defend myself. I go, wait a minute. That's legit. Could have done it a better way. And so you just do that. When you live that lifestyle of forgiveness and you're taking responsibility, you don't keep a lot of junk inside of you.
In the book, you talked about different kinds of trauma that we haven't really touched on. Things like racial trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, we see a lot of that in the society where a lot of people in the Black community hate white people for, you know, all the injustices over the
right.
The decades and centuries, I guess. But also church hurt. Worst hurt is church hurt. Now, you know, partly because the church is a family, and often we're hurt by those who are closest to us. But kind of talk about that. And also, you had in my notes here, political hurt. Kind of explain that too.
Well, you can get hurt in so many different ways. Let's talk about the family of origin. There's physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse. There's also neglect. There's sexual trauma. There's rape. There's infidelity. There's pornography is a form of self-abuse. And there's things that others can do to you. And then let's come back to what we've done to ourselves in a little bit. But you can be hurt by a political system supposed to persecuting Christians. You're going to be hurt by that because there are places in the world. I mean, we went through just in the last political cycle in our nation where Christians were being systematically falsely accused and, you know, IRS going after them and stuff like that. And the people that were involved in that were hurt. Okay. There were people actually who had, I mean, like the one university, they were sued for no reason. Now, of course, that case is gone now, but when you go through a legal struggle with the government, that's pain. That's political injury. Okay. And there's also sometimes neglect where maybe your parents didn't invest or even discover your gifts or didn't lead you spiritually or didn't lead you financially. And you might have issues in your life because of that. But you go through and you identify that stuff and then you forgive them to me and you move on. And so there's all different ways that we can get bullets in our life. But the great thing is we're indestructible. That's a whole nother teaching. I've got a video called Indestructible. There's nothing on earth that can destroy you. Hell itself can't destroy a human being. If you choose to go to hell, you'll be there for thousands of years and you'll still be able to see, smell, touch, and hear. So you can't be destroyed. So someone's sin can't destroy you. It can hurt you. You can have a bad day about it, do your crying, but it can't destroy you and you shouldn't let it. But the forgiveness of everyone allows you to identify those things, but then take them and forgive them and move forward so that you're not stuck at that point of injury. Because you know how, if you get shot, what happens? You lay on the ground and you can get stuck laying on the ground. And God doesn't want you stuck laying on the ground. He wants you to take that bullet out and keep going for your own destiny. I mean, if I would have gotten stuck 20, 30 years ago, God would not put me where I am today in many situations. And so I would really encourage you, forgive everybody. Even if you don't think they deserve it, you deserve it.
You know, as we wrap up, we have about 2 minutes left. Talk over the high points of your forgiveness formula, and then I'd like you to pray for our viewers.
Sure. Well, the first thing is identify who's hurt you. Go ahead and do the anger stuff. Do the forgiveness exercise in the book where you role play forgiving the person. And then also forgive yourself. Let Jesus forgive you. There's exercises for that as well. And then take responsibility. It's kind of the formula in a nutshell. But here I just want to pray with you. Listen, you've been hurt, lied to, betrayed, maybe sexually used, and maybe you've done some of the stuff to yourself. It is time for you to really take this moment, get informed. You know, so many people are injured by what they don't know. Well, here's an opportunity to learn something you don't know about forgiveness. And here's the great thing. Once you learn it, it's principles. You can teach it to other people. Husband and wives can learn this together. Families can learn this together. You don't need anyone's help to be great at forgiveness. You just don't. Just need some information. So I'm going to pray that God will walk through this with you and you'll release anybody who's created pain in your heart so that you can be free and you can reach the destiny that God really has for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time. I know how busy you are. We've been friends for a long time. You've had a big impact on my life, so thank you. And I want to encourage people to get this book, Forgiveness. I'm a voracious reader, and I'm reading it now. It is outstanding. And I remember a book that R.T. Kendall wrote called Total Forgiveness that had a big impact on me 20 years ago. And I don't think I've read a book on forgiveness since. So I want to encourage people to get the book. Thank you for writing it. Thank you for being a leader in the Christian community. God bless you. And I want to thank my viewers for watching. God bless you.